So we're going to begin from Chof Dalet Omad Aleph, the Gemara at the bottom. Oma Rabbi Chanina. We're on the sixth bottom line. Oma Rabbi Chanina. Ani ro'isi es Rabbi. I saw Rabbi Shetolo Tfilov. Shetolo Tfilov. He hung up his tefillin. So his tefillin presumably were dangling off some hook. And that's what I saw him do. If I saw him do it, it must be correct. The question is, why so? Meisve asks the Gemara, Hatoyle Tfilov, if somebody hangs his tefillin, then very scary consequences, Yitlu loy chayov. They will, as it were, hang his life. If you treat the tefillin with disrespect, such that you are hanging them, then your life will also be hanging. And we, as it were, derive this from a pasuk, Dorshe chamurois, or some say, Dorshe reshumois. Those who make drushes, they attribute this to a pasuk. Omru, it says, Vahoyu chayecho, Tluim lecho mineged. Your life will be hanging in front of you. Now, what does that mean, your life will be hanging in front of you? Who's that referring to? Ze hatoyle tfilov. That is the person who is hanging up his tefillin. So either way, we have a big kasha on our hands. On the one hand, we have this story that Rebbe, in fact, did hang his tefillin. And yet, the Braisa clearly says that if somebody hangs his tefillin, then there's a dire consequences. Very severe consequences. How can that be? Says the Gemara Loikashia. Ho Beretzua. Vaho Bektitza. Depends how you hang them up. If you hang them via the Retzuois, so the straps of the tefillin are on the hook, which means that the bias of the tefillin is now dangling down at the bottom, that's considered disrespectful for the tefillin. Baha b'ktitza, Rashi explains, b'ktitza means the bias of the tefillin. Well, that would be very, very different. That means the top of the tefillin are on the hook, and so to the contrary, it's not the actual tefillin which are dangling down, but rather it is the retzuos. And even though those are kodesh, but clearly less than the actual tefillin. If that's the case, then we've managed to resolve the stira. Yes, Rebbe hanged up his tefillin, but that's because he did so by putting the bias of the tefillin on the hook. And that which the Braisa says, whoever hangs up the tefillin, there'll be severe consequences. That's, however, talking about something else, somebody who is hanging up the tefillin by the straps, by the retzuis, in which case the bias is dangling down, that's considered a bizoyen. That's teretz number one. Like I said, I can't hear anybody speak, if anybody's talking. Certainly because you're all muted. I can't hear a word, unfortunately. Something wrong with my... Let me try fiddling around. Unfortunately, I can't hear anybody speak for some reason. You know, let me just call my wife. She knows these things better than me. One second.
Question: if when someone is putting on their shell rush,
yeah,
they should also hold it by the bias and not by the kesher, allowing the bias to be right.
Good question, because I see a lot of people not doing that.
I heard that once, and I'm careful to do that, but I don't know what the source is. Maybe it's the source is from here.
Right, very good point. I don't know. Yeah, L'Chari is saying that when you put the tefillin shel Rosh, then if you hold it from the back, and again the bias is dangling down, then L'Chari, you are violating what the Gemara teaches us over here. You know what, maybe in a minute we'll look in the halacha, we'll see if there's any mention of this. It's a good shayla. Says the Gemara, now that the speaker is working again, third bottom line, the ibois ema. Alternatively, we can suggest a different teretz. Loishna retsua veloishna ktsitsa. Maybe that actually it makes no difference. We do not differentiate between the bias or the retsuas. That's not the distinction. Rather, the chitola Rebbe, when Rebbe hanged it up, what happened was it was bekista. Bekista means bekista tola. He hanged it in its covering. And if the tefillin is in its covering, then obviously that's not considered a bezoyin. With the question being, one second, so what's the chidush at all? Ihochi maila memra, question mark. So if so, what exactly is Rav Chanina trying to teach us? Rav Chanina testified for us that I saw my Rebbe hang up his tefillin, but it turns out it was in the covering. So what's the big deal? Why is that a chidush? Says the Gemara, Mau de Tema, because I might have thought Tiboi Hanocha, Kasefa Torah. I would have thought that maybe it needs to be placed, meaning perhaps even with the covering, I would have thought maybe that's Asa, just like a Sefer Torah. After all, a Sefer Torah, even if it's in its covering, is not allowed to be hanged up anywhere. Rather, it's got to have Hanocha, it's got to be placed, put down. So I would have thought that maybe Tefillin is the same. Kamash Balon, that no. We are more Makel with Tefillin, and therefore it is a Chiddush. But again, we're only Makel if indeed you make sure that the Tefillin is covered. Says the Rashi. Says Rashi, at the end of the first wide line, Hatoila Tfilov Beyoseid. If somebody hangs his tefillin Beyoseid, Yoseid is a hook, then very scary consequences, Yitlu Chayov. Then his life will also be hanged up. Doirshe Rishumois. There are some people who make droshes, Kishorim Vestumim. They connect and they work out all the riddles. Hakolim b'Torah, Haklulim b'Torah. Dereshe Chamurois Garsinon. Some have a girsa. We have a girsa. Dereshe Chamurois. Rashi brings Dereshe Rishumois Vehihi. Either way, it's referring to people who manage to, as it were, decode some of the cryptic words in the Torah, and they say that when it says your life will be hanging in the balance, Zeh HaToyla Tfilov. That is referring to somebody who is hanging up his tefillin. Shehatoyrah chayov shel odom. Because the Torah is the life of a person. V'romaz lecha. Hakosov sheyitlu chayov. And therefore, when the Torah says that your life will be hanging, that's a reference to tefillin, because tefillin is containing Torah, and that is your life. So we made a distinction, beretzua. If you're hanging it up by the retzua, v'haketzitza lamato, and the bias of the tefillin is dangling below, then gnai hu lohem. Then that would be considered a gnai, that would be considered a bizoyin for the tefillin, and it would therefore be awesome. Avol, if however, says Rashi, toila hu oisom bektsitsa, but if he's toila them not with the straps such that the ktsitsa, the bias, is hanging down, but rather he hangs them by the actual ktsitsa, v'tehe ha ktsitsa munachas al hayoseid, such that it's actually the bias of the tefillin which are placed on the hook. V'haratzua lamato, and it's the straps of the tefillin which are dangling downwards, and that's okay. Second answer was, b'kista tala, you hanged it up in its covering. B'toich tikon, in its tick, hayu v'tala hatik. The tefillin were in the tick, in their covering, and you hanged up the tick, and that will be okay. So we have two tirutzim in the Gemara. Maybe let's just have a quick peek in the Shulchan Aruch to see how we paskin on this. Have a look in the Shulchan Aruch, which you'll find in Siman Mem. The very first sif is in Hilchas Tefillin, the very first sif in Siman Mem in Shulchan Aruch. Have a look, the very first sif in Siman Mem, and it says, Asur litlois tefillin, bein bebatim, bein beretzuais. So we clearly have left the first teretz of the Gemara, and the Shulchan Aruch is clearly telling us that essentially both are asur, not like the first teretz in the Gemara. The first teretz in the Gemara said there's a distinction between whether you hang out by the retzuais or the bayis. Now the Shulchan Aruch has left that teretz. Why? Because the Gemara left that teretz. So what is the distinction that we need to make? Are they in the covering or not? And that's how the Shulchan Aruch concludes. Avol muta litloison bekisam. But you are allowed to hang them if they are in their covering. Says the Mishnah Berurah there. Osa litloy, says Mishnah Berurah, sukot na'ala ala yosid. Bepnei shehu derech bizoyim. Bein bebatim. What does that mean, bein bebatim? Shehabatim tluyo islamato. The batim are dangling downwards, that's certainly osa. But ubein sheharutzuois tluyo islamato. So too, if the rutzuois are hanging downwards as well, they'll be equally osa. Umikol mokoim. Oh, Rabbi Eliel Dobin, maybe this is your halacha. Umikol mokoim ba'akroi. What does it mean by akroi? It means as a one-off. Ba'alma she'oichez ha'tfilin b'yodai. If he is holding the tfilin in his hand, v'ratzua is tzluyis lamata, ein lahakbid. Why? That's called akroi. Not because of the frequency, but because of the lack of kvius. If it's hanging on a hook, that's a more permanent situation. If it's hanging in your hands, that's by definition, by nature, temporary. You look at the Mishnah Berurah, continues, and he says, Aval ima tfilin tluyin, osur b'chol gavna. So if it's ba'akroi holding in your hand, it seems to be okay. But once they're hanging properly off a hook, then it'll be osur in all cases, whether the batim are at the top and the ratzua is at the bottom, or the other way around. Ve'ein bichlal zeh, and not included in this is Masha Hatinoika Shel Beis Rabbom Tolu. No, sorry, Masha Ha. You have the Tofshin Reish spelled out for you and yours. How is it written in your Mishnah Berurah, Eliyahu David? Also has a Rosh Tevis. You're on mute.
I'm looking at an electronic Mishnah Berurah, and it's Rosh Tevis.
Does anybody have the Rosh Tevis spelled out? Ve'im b'chal zeh ma'sheha t'shar. Tfilin shel Rosh. Ah, tfilin shel Rosh. Ein b'chal zeh ma'sheha tfilin shel Rosh tolui ba'avir. This is Mamash Yoshayler b'liyahu David u'machzikon b'yodon. When you hold the tefillin shel Rosh in your hand and you're about to place it on your head, umasimom ala roish, and you place it on your head, that's no problem at all. Kizehu tzorech hanochason, because all of that is necessary to place the tefillin on your head. If that's not considered a bezoyin to the tefillin, anything that's necessary for the actual performance of the mitzvah of tefillin, by definition, cannot be considered a bezoyin for the tefillin. To the contrary, this is its normal usage.
I don't know, just gut level for me, it seems to me to be a bezoyin to hold them that way.
Okay, you're privileged. But ma'aseh me'ikra din, as the Mishnah Berurah tells us, it's okay. Now, go to the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Gimel. We said if the tefillin is bekison, if they're in the cover, it's okay. The Sefer Torah osur l'tloisa b'chol gavni. That we saw in the Gemara. The Gemara said that a Sefer Torah, even if it's in its covering, cannot be hung up. Afilu kishehi ba'oron ha'kodesh. Even if the Sefer Torah is inside the Aron HaKodesh, v'toyla ha'oron ha'kodesh, it would still be also that be considered a bezayin. He says on the next line, by the way, v'sfarim k'goin sifrei Talmud u'chadoyme doyme l'tfilin. Sfarim would be considered like tefillin. Now again, if you put your chumash inside a bag, then you hang up the bag, then maybe that'll be okay, because now the sefer is covered. But if not, if you put your chumash on a hook, right, you need to go to the bathroom, so you're carrying your gemara, so I put my gemara on top of, balance it on a hook there, which is supposed to be for hats, that would be awesome. That's a bizarre. Or mikol mokoim, svarim, oi sidurei tfilois, hakvuim beluchois shebohem, shalsheles shel kesef. Says the Mishnah Brura that if you have svarim, or sidurim, hakvuim beluchois shelohem, shalsheles shel kesef, osur litloison bom. Shaluchos ein doimos lekis. We're talking about basically where the sefer has very fancy covering, like some sort of silver binding. But that silver binding cannot be considered the covering for the sefer. It's part of the sefer. Lefi sheheim mechubarein lesidur v'harehein kesidur atzmoi. That's like the sidur itself. You cannot tell me that the sidur is covered. It's not covered. It just has a book cover, but the book cover is part of the siddur itself. Let's just continue the Mishnah Berurah, even though this is not so much our subject, but this is important to know this halacha. Muta lichtoiv psukim benayar. You're allowed to write psukim on a piece of paper, v'litloison b'pesach beis hakneses. Right, so if you want to write at the entrance to your shul, pischuli sharei tzedek, or whatever it may be, that's okay. Noyagim ha'oilom lehis'anois. The minig of people is that they fast, kishanoifel tfilin miyodoi al ha'aretz. If chas v'sholem tfilin fall from his hand onto the floor, then the minig is to fast. That if it's below nartikon. That's only if it's without the covering. So if somebody drops their tefillin on the floor but it's inside the covering, then they do not have to fast. V'hu adin k'shenoifel sefer Torah afilu b'nartikon. And sefer Torah umor machmir. So if it chas v'shalom drops on the floor, even if it is inside the cover, the minig is to fast. V'ayim be'eli rabba shekosav d'afilu tefillin b'nartikon. The Eli Rabba says, even if the tefillin are in the cover, which we just now said means therefore you don't need to fast, but nonetheless, yitain pruta litztaka. You should at least give some money to tztaka. So be'ez Hashem, this should not be neger, but it does, maybe sometimes chas v'sholom happen, somebody drops his tefillin. So if it's inside the covering, not even, doesn't have to be the whole tefillin bag, even just the plastic box, then even if it would fall to the ground, one would not need to fast because it's covered, not the ritzuos, the actual tefillin. But one would still give money to tztaka. I say for Torah is a different story. A Sefer Torah, even if it is covered, If it falls to the ground, chas v'sholom, then the minute gets to fast. There is a very, very big discussion. All of this halacha, very, very interesting, even though I think it's fair to say that it's a very famous halacha. Everybody knows this halacha, that if a Sefer Torah, chas v'sholom, falls to the ground, you fast. But the truth is, the sources are, I don't want to call it obscure, but it's not a Gemara and it's not Rishonim. The Gemara does not talk about it. The Magen Avraham quotes Poskim, and there's a very big discussion. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a very lengthy tshuva about this. When exactly do you have to fast? Does everybody in the shul have to fast? Do members of the shul who are not there have to fast? Do women have to fast? This unfortunately happened here in Ramat Beit Shemesh Gimel. I got a phone call on Motzah Simchas Torah from one of the shuls, and the Gabbai told me, brokenhearted, that the two Sifrei Torah fell out the Aron HaKodesh. After all the dancing, it was during Corona, so everything was outside, so I guess they had some temporary Aron HaKodesh. They put two Sifrei Torah back in after all the dancing, and clearly they weren't putting back in properly. In the middle of davening, the door of the Aron HaKodesh burst open and both Sifrei Torah fell out. So Lemaisa, there was a whole discussion what to do, and should they fast, and who should fast, and what happens if fasting will cause bittul Torah, people wouldn't be able to learn, and when should they fast, should it be immediately afterwards? A whole bunch of halachas, rather complicated, but even though the halacha is famous, as I said, it's not so much halacha, as the Mishnah Berurah himself says, noyagim ha'olam, it didn't say chayev. Noyagim ha'olam means that is the custom. So you have to know, if that's the custom, in what form was the custom niskabel in Klal Yisrael? Okay, so either way, the halacha seems to be pretty clear that we do not now distinguish between whether or not the tefillin are being hanged by the ritzua or the bayis. Either way, it's also, it's got to be in the cover. Sefer Torah, there's not a heter, but the tefillin, there is a heter if it's in its cover, or if it's whilst you are putting on the tefillin, the shel rosh, then that's not considered a bezoyin, that is the tzerech of the tefillin. Okay, with that, let's move back now into the Gemara.
One quick question.
Yep.
So when it said the Sfarim, I feel like if you put a Sefer on a hook, it's not really hanging on the hook, it's more sitting on the hook.
Yeah, you might be right.
Stable.
Maybe it's stable. So maybe hanging would be, I don't know, it's got a hole in the Sefer and you're literally dangling off the hook. Yeah, maybe you'd be right.
And the tefillin, if it drops, it's you fast for one day?
Yes. Again, it's the minhag. It's not a chiyuv of gomor. If somebody would say that if he fasts, you'll not be able to function the whole day, you won't be able to learn, and it'll cause tremendous bittul Torah, then it could be there'll be room for leniency because it's not a chiyuv of gomor, it's just a minhag. So maybe it's better for him to learn and give some stocker instead.
Just last question, is that when we say fall, it fell out of your hand and landed on the table, or it had to fall on the floor?
It has to fall on the floor. If it landed on the table, then you do not have to. Fast. By the way, if we're going discussing this subject, one does have to be careful. If the tefillin ever drop, one has to inspect the tefillin afterwards to see that nothing got chipped. Because sometimes if it gets dropped, then the corners of the tefillin could take a little bit of a bash, and if they're not squared, then they're posel. Halacha Moshe Messina says the tefillin have to be square. Although, contrary to popular belief, they do not have to be squared absolutely by the millimeter. I remember on many occasions when I was with my Rebbe, Reb Shlomo Zalman Ullman, people used to come into the Beis Seirah and show him tefillin and say, well, it got a bit of a bash, so that the corner is no longer a corner. And he used to look at it a cursory look. He did not inspect it with a magnifying glass. Basically, he held it, hands length, basically, you know, like, it looks pretty much, it looks okay to me. And he used to explain to me, he says, the very fact that we have sophisticated equipment and magnifying glass, but what did they do 300 years ago before they had this? In fact, never mind how do you inspect it, how do they produce tefillin in the first place? Again, we have now very sophisticated technology by which we can make very, very square tefillin. But clearly 300 or 400 years ago, they didn't have that. So it's safe to assume that it was not exactly on the millimeter. Either way, one should always show this to a mumcha. One has to be careful not to paskin this shayla oneself. It's very negeya and one can save oneself a lot of tiruch and agmas nefesh when you put your tefillin back into the covering of the shel rosh. If it's not done gently, then every single day it's getting a little bit of a bang, and generally, and over time, it could wear away the corner. So just take an extra second over it, you put it gently back into the tefillin box, you save yourself a lot of time, effort, and maybe money.
How do you know when to apply that just because they didn't have something 300 years ago means we don't take advantage of that today? Like I see Rebbeim with a bedikah cloth, they'll take out a magnifying glass.
That's a very, very complicated, very, very controversial question. It's a very good question. What is the whole role of a magnifier? I walk around with a magnifying glass at all times. I have one in my pocket. Even on Shabbos, I walk around with a magnifying glass. Because after Paskan Shailas, Arbas Haminim, you might often see Rabbonim check and a Lulav and Esther with a magnifying glass. We could discuss this. It's a very, very big subject. The bottom line is, anything which is not visible without a magnifying glass can clearly not carry weight lahalocha. And this is nogea in many, 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 many areas of halocha. The poskim, the Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Moshe Feinstein and others talk about this when they talk about having insects in a salad. If it is something which is so small that it's not detectable, the only way you could detect it is with a magnifying glass, and clearly that's not what the Torah is talking about, because it didn't have that at the time of the Torah, so it can't be that's what the Torah is referring to. And like you said, with regard to checking an esrog or a lulav, or checking a bedikah cloth, or checking two letters in a Sefer Torah to see whether they're touching or not, for example, or checking whether tefillin are squared, etc., 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 etc. There are hundreds of examples. So you're going to ask the big question, well, if that's true, so why are Rabbonim walking around with a magnifying glass then? If you just said that if you've got to use the naked eye, what the magnifying glass can detect does not carry weight lalocha, so why indeed are you using a magnifying glass? So it's a very good question, and you have to know when to apply it. The bottom line is, if you're not a Rav, I would suggest do not use a magnifying glass. Even if you are a Rav, you have to know when a magnifying glass is used. A magnifying glass, this is the way I was taught, my main Rebbe in these areas was Rav Davidovich. From him I learned how to paskin Arbas Aminim, and from him I learned how to paskin bedikah cloths. We use a magnifying glass when we can detect something without. If you can detect something without, then the magnifying glass might well confirm what it is. This, I can say, probably happens to me every single day, several times a day, when, for example, somebody will bring you a bedikah cloth, and there seems to be something which is suspicious, or something red. Upon careful inspection of the magnifying glass, you'll see it, all it is a thread, or a piece of tissue. So there, the magnifying glass is not paskening in the locha. It's not that I couldn't see it. I saw it without anyway. It was just confirmation. All the other way around as well. I must tell you, I once asked my Rebbe Reb Shlomo Zalman Ullman about checking Lulavim with a magnifying glass, and he says he doesn't check Arba Minim Bichlal with a magnifying glass. When it comes to Arba Minim is a little bit of a different subject. Because some of the psulim, not all, some of the psulim are what we call hodor. And hodor, by definition, as the expression goes, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, depends on the way it looks. So if upon very careful inspection with a magnifying glass you detect a tiny black dot on your esrog, but without the magnifying glass you can't see it, so besides for the fact that b'chol ha-toirah, like I just said, whatever you can't detect without a magnifying glass carries no weight, but kol shekein with an esrog. It's absurd to suggest that an esrog that's got a black dot that's so small you cannot detect it is a lack of hodor. How can that not be considered a beautiful esrog if when you look at the esrog at a distance from the normal way you'd hold it, you can't even detect it? So in Arba Minim, there is even more room to say that you've got to be very careful how you use a magnifying glass, and some would say that the poskim can bring, the Mogen Avraham brings. What is the way you're supposed to check an esrog? many Rabbanim will check an Esrog, quite a quick look at a hand's length away from the face. Why? Because that's the way you hold your Esrog when you're Makayim the Mitzvah. So when the Torah says pre-eitz hodor, it's got to be beautiful, it means beautiful as you hold it when you are shaking it. So Mamela, to remove your glasses and get a whole Hubble Space Telescope to look at your Esrog, who says you're Mokhoyev to do that? That's not the way you hold the Esrog and cannot be considered, therefore, a lack of Hodor if it does have that spot. It's a very, 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 very big subject. As I mentioned, it's negated to tefillin, it's negated to many, many other areas. So either way, back to our question. When you ask, how square does tefillin have to be? It cannot be that the Torah wants it to be more square than what was possible at the time the Torah was given. So for the time the Torah was given, they did not have a magnifying glass. They did not have technology by which they could make an absolute square. Then clearly that was considered square by the Torah. Now, if we can make it even more square than that, that's wonderful. But you cannot say it's possible without. Similar shaila, for example, people very often ask, a woman needs to go to the mikveh and she needs to comb her hair. Must she comb her hair with a metal lice comb? We're not talking about somebody who, an isha who has lice. And the answer unequivocally is, no, she's not mechuyev to. So what are you going to say? Why? But if you don't comb it with a lice comb, maybe there's a little dot here or there once again. When the Gemara said that the woman has to check her hair, they didn't have metal lice combs. So whichever comb they had, clearly that's what Chazal meant. You're not mechuyev to go searching more in detail than they did at the time. Again, if you can and you want to, ma tovu ma noim. But nobody can say that it's possible you didn't do a correct preparation if you did not use that metal lice comb. So as I mentioned, this is a very, very, very big subject. It has many, many, many ramifications, most of which are beyond the scope of the shir. But with regard to our tefillin, that's how do we mention this? Because we learned the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says if you drop your tefillin, you either have to fast or give tzedakah. I'm just adding, you should also check to make sure that the corners were not chipped, because then it could be, if you look at the tefillin and it doesn't look square to you, it may be possible. Do not paskin this yourself. In fact, I would even suggest don't show it to a rav. Best is to show it to somebody who's an expert in tefillin. Okay, we veered off the subject a little bit today. Be'ezrat Hashem will continue tomorrow at the bottom of the Gemara and going over and have a look at the halacha as well in Mitzvah Hashem. Call today.